Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw News Brief. We're going to try to keep this one brief today. Do us a favor, though, if you're watching us on YouTube, hey, give us a thumbs up, hit that subscribe button. Also, for those of you who enjoy the Smash Zone every Thursday, we're going to pause that for today. Did we pause it last week, too? We didn't do one last week, too.
That's right.
Well, the Quizlemania Tag Champs, we can take. We got some important business going on over here that we have to take care of. So we can't explain it to you, but one day maybe we'll do a shoot interview. We'll talk about this
perhaps.
Week.
Why did you cancel the September 16th Smash Zone?
Exactly. It's very important stuff. And then I'm canceling anybody looking forward to seeing me at GCW. I'm not going to be there either. I'm staying home. We're locking down for now. So anyways, yeah, we're canceling Smash Zone. Numbers don't lie. We'll be up later on today, though, so check that out. Let's go ahead and kick this off. What's in the news?
Sure. So in a pretty wide-ranging interview with Bleacher Report, new WWE champion Big E talked about when he found out he was winning the title. This is what he had to say. Quote, "When I started this loop, my intention was that I was supposed to be home Monday morning after the live event Sunday, and I realized I was going to Raw last minute. That was a bit of a last-minute decision. There is also the option of maybe I go out there and do some teasing and come back later when it's time to actually cash in, or go back to SmackDown and cash in there. I wasn't really sure. It was an afternoon, that day decision. It all happened very, very quickly. For me, it was definitely not something that was set in stone days and days ahead. This seems totally in line with how WWE operates 99.9% of the time. Like, I think Seth Rollins found out he was cashing at WrestleMania day of. It seems like there's a lot of day of decisions happening,
at least,
from the talent's perspective. You know, they don't learn about these things seemingly until day of that is happening.
Look, why do you, I mean, it's your WWE championship, right? What does it matter if you have a day of decision? Look, a lot of, it's funny because I think it was the Matt Men podcast, Andrew Zarian. Mm-hmm. I think he had mentioned that this was more, and this is actually kind of interesting because it turns out that the real creative competition seemingly is going to be between USA and Fox, keeping both networks satisfied.
When
you have a big Madison Square Garden show on SmackDown, something similarly big needs to happen on Raw. And he's saying, and I honestly don't know, I just sort of read the quote, I don't know if this is his inside guys or if this is his speculation, so I don't know, that that this is more about, it's less about trying to keep up that AEW competition and more about making sure that if something big happens over there, they're not going to hear from the other company, the other network. Hey, why didn't we get something big? So, I guess if you can expect one thing big on one show, you can expect similarly something big to happen on the other show.
This is kind of the stuff you'd expect from a brand split, where at least in theory, they promote it, or at least they did when they started the brand split again, as a competition between the brands. Mm-hmm. And I know they meant that in terms of kayfabe, mm-hmm. but behind the scenes, you got to think that's kind of the reality too, where, well, Brock shows up on SmackDown. Well, let's have a cash in on Money in the Bank cash in on Raw, you know, if nothing else, to keep your network partners happy.
Yeah.
And probably off your back.
And I mean,
then it might be advantageous to do that.
The good thing about the WWE is that they do keep so much up in the air. They keep these, like, these juggling balls up in the air just barely, right? And so the good thing is they can sort of just do what they could do something big, and in their weird minds, it'll make sense. It's like, oh, hey, here's a guy we never use. Here's a guy that everybody loves universally. We don't really use him all that much. Let's do something really cool with him and everybody will be really happy. and that were rewarding him, when really it's just like, hey, we need to make the network executives happy and do something. So they have like a bunch of guys they never use good. And then when they use somebody good, they can make it seem like they're the best company in the world. That's what WWE does.
Kind of. They rely a lot on the goodwill that us fans have towards their talented performers. A lot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They really do. They really do. The interview overall is great. Big E talks about, winning the world title without, more or less being himself while winning the world title. New Day never splitting up, because that should never happen. New Day should never split up, and a bunch of other things. It's a really good interview. The link's in the description. Highly recommend you check it out.
That's great. Yeah.
We also got some backstage details on NXT 2.0's debut. The first bit here comes from the Wrestling Observer himself, Dave Meltzer. He said some stuff about NXT 2.0 on Wrestling Observer Radio. These transcripts are from wrestlingnews.co. Steve, take it away.
I'll do my best, Dave Meltzer. No, I'm not going to do that. I save that for when I'm on a walk and I just send you a voice message.
Time I don't get him.
Shawn Michaels was the guy running the show. The Heartbreak Kid was running the show because Triple H obviously is still not back. Probably won't be back for a while, which is kind of like bearing the lead right there. It's like, oh, wow, who's running NXT 2.0? Wait a second. Triple H is not going to be back for a while. He says Shawn was running it and Kevin Dunn was there. No Vince, no Bruce, although Pritchard had gone down recently. But Vince did review the script of the show. He was involved in the creative of the show, but not there. And he was not the key guy or anything like that. And whether that will be the case going forward, I doubt. I think it will be his toy until he gets tired of it.
Well, you did see some traits of main roster programming on NXT 2.0.
Yes. Facing
the tag match going into a six-person tag match. Conventional main roster tropes.
Even in the camera work, yeah.
Yeah, showing up on NXT 2.0. Meltzer also mentioned that NXT's commentary team was banned from referencing Rick Steiner during Braun Breaker's match. Of course, Braun Breaker is Rick Steiner's son, though Vic Joseph did work in a dog face gremlin reference. But as to why WWE changed Bronson Steiner's name to Braun Breaker, PW Insider's reporting that, quote, WWE quickly pivoted from his initially planned and awesome, that's PW Insider's editorializing their ring name, of Rex Steiner. It is a good name. One source pointed to the company wanting to create and own the trademarks of all their talents' ring names as a likely reason for the switch. And PW Insider also noted that, quote, we can expect quite the push for Braun Breaker in the weeks ahead. That seemed pretty evident based on what we saw on Tuesday. I mean, this isn't a new thing. We've seen WWE do this a lot, basically with any talent they assigned that didn't already have a huge established brand.
Yeah.
But actually, we saw in kind of, 2015, 2014 days of NXT, even if you did have a huge established brand in the independent circuit, you were coming in and you were changing your name anyways.
Yeah.
Or had a huge brand internationally, like Finn Balor.
Yeah.
At the time, if you asked me who Prince Devitt was, I was like, I don't know. But if like someone of comparable stature from New Japan went to NXT now, of course, Hiromu Takahashi left New Japan to go to NXT, of course, or even more recently, Kushida. Kushida got to keep his name.
Yeah. I mean, there's never really been much of a comment in terms of why that has been. It's been kind of all left up to speculation, I mean, obviously the independent scene did sort of blow up thanks, I think, mainly to like sort of social media really had it like around the mid, 2010s really blew things up. And so by the time 2016, 2017 rolled around and Matt Riddle, Keith Lee had these names that had really been established. I mean, kind of, I guess maybe post AJ Styles is when they maybe saw, okay, these guys really are starting to get names that, I mean, Kevin Owens, they changed Kevin Owens' name. But around AJ Styles, they really started to bring guys in and it's like, okay, I don't know if it was philosophically a thing that Triple H wanted to do.
I wonder
NXT.
If he saw the value of bringing in establish independent names, brands to NXT. So it's an easier transition for fans of those people. You
NXT,
know?
NXT was really seemingly built partially on appeasing the goodwill of the internet wrestling community. You know, it's like, hey, what do you guys want to see? I mean, and it's funny because it was built around what originally was the community that rallied behind Shawn Michaels all those years ago. You know, Bruce Pritchard would say, well, you know, if the internet really wanted something, we knew that not doing that would be the way to go. But on, you know, but it, because Triple H and HBK are like best friends, it's not shocking that Triple H sees the value in catering to that specific community. When he looks at main roster as a top 40 brand and he looks at NXT as like sort of the indie alternative ranks, I guess, metal probably in his opinion.
Yeah, in his mind, yeah.
You know, it's not surprising that was, and now it's going to be completely different because they just want this main, this sort of developmental main roster type thing or whatever NXT 2.0 is supposed to be. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's interesting. I wonder, do you think the Rick Steiner thing is related to Scott Steiner? The unfortunate,
I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's, I mean, I understand a lot of it is probably trademarking the ring talent's name, and so they have to do licensing agreements and that kind of stuff. Like,
but
they have
not
to do with
mentioning the
yeah, that's weird.
You know, I mean, they have never had a problem saying, "Hey, this guy's name is completely different than his family, but he's got this family to
he's
boost
a second
his
or third generation star." Yeah, yeah, I know. Especially when there's so many references in Bron Breakker's presentation to his dad. You know,
yeah,
he's got
right?
the singlet,
yeah.
the brightly colored singlet.
He looks
you know?
Like him. He looks a lot like him.
He does. And to run away from that seems kind of strange, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard to guess what's going on through Vince McMahon's head.
It really is. WrestleNomics is reporting that the revamped NXT saw a boost in viewership this past Tuesday, garnering the show's highest viewership number since late April. That's 5 months ago, or almost. Saw a number of 770,000 in total viewership. Got a 0.21 in the all-important 18 to 49 demo. And I apologize. Do you remember what it was the previous week, the demo number? Was
I don't remember the demo number, but I can look that up real quick. Just give me a second.
So not to be cynical about things, but I find it difficult to believe that, I mean, given that nobody knew what to expect, that is the reason why this number was so big, because people didn't know what to expect.
I'm sure,
and
there's a bit of curiosity involved. Yeah.
Let's check it out. Whether or not they'll be able to hold on to this number, given that this is going to be clearly main roster type show with a bunch of undeveloped, unknown characters, and then a smattering of NXT 1.0 characters, I'd be really, really pessimistic in terms of it being able to retain that number. But yeah,
it remains to be seen. So last Tuesday, it got 601,000 with a 0.14.
0.14, okay. That's, for some reason, I remember that number because I didn't.
So about a 50% increase in the demo number.
Which is great.
Which is good.
I mean,
really good.
You want to appeal to that 18 to 49 demo. You know, the question is, are they going to be able to retain that number given what they have? I don't know that that's the answer, because I mean, my main thing about NXT 2.0, Larson, is I don't know what they bring to the table that you can't get better elsewhere.
Exactly.
Except, exactly. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the beginnings of New Japan Strong, how they just had all these like new names
kind of
mixed in with
kind
some
of
established names.
Well, I mean, we see that on AEW Elevation and Dark, you know, it's, and granted the format there is a little different because usually established name versus an independent name in the matches by and large aren't super competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're basically,
you know, it's not very often you have an up and coming name defeat a veteran on Elevation or Dark, like we saw on NXT this past Tuesday with Bron Breakker beating LA Knight.
But even oftentimes with Dark and Elevation, at the very least, the non-established name has something going on for them in the independent ranks. Maybe they've got 2,000 followers on Twitter. Maybe they have 20,000 followers on Twitter. Yep. But oftentimes, they have somewhat of a following, and so you can get a
definitely
little bit of buzz. These guys are purely coming out of nowhere, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, Von Wagner, when he was put in the main event, it's like, who is this guy? It's like a my career thing. So it'll be interesting. I hope, you know, just for everybody involved, I hope that it does really well. I hope it's able to build on this. It's just when you look at the ingredients, you have to wonder, why would anybody continue to watch this beyond pure curiosity? I mean, if they are really interested in tracking the development of guys who just got signed over the past 12 months, is that a draw? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know. I don't know if watching people learn how to wrestle on cable television is a draw. I mean, I'll watch it because it's part of my job. And yeah, I'm kind of somewhat curious about how this is going to evolve.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to see all the growing pains or some of the growing pains of some of these wrestlers? Because that's part of what that's the nature of developmental, especially now on live cable television, is you're going to see wrestlers be in situations they haven't been before and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a situation where there's a missed spot, a miscommunication, they have to think on their feet on the fly. Mm-hmm. Do they have the repetitions under their belt to react quickly and respond to those situations? Is it going to be a little weird? Is it going to be a little clumsy or awkward? Unintentionally funny. We don't know.
The last part, we've seen it is.
Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo. The even bad wrestling potentially is better than what we might end up getting, which is even worse, which is
wrestling.
Well, specifically copy and paste wrestling. The Creed brothers clearly know how to do one match. The same match. And are people going to tune in to see the Creed brothers perform that same match over and over again?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hesitant to think yes, but I guess you never know. I guess it's
possible.
I mean,
people tuned in to see Goldberg wrestle the same match over and over for 178 matches. I know some of those were on the house shows, but still.
Yeah.
And the one time he was put in there with somebody who tested him.
It was unintentionally hilarious.
Yes.
I wanted to point this out. This isn't in the notes, but also I had seen this and I thought it was pretty interesting while we're on the subject of NXT. NXT legends Adam Cole, of course, now in AEW, was asked in an interview with Scott Fishman of TV Insider about the pitch made to him. The pitch made for him that was rumored about where he would be the manager of Keith Lee, and these he said this, and these transcripts are from Wrestle Talk. He says, I personally have never heard anything regarding that. I touched base a little bit on how my meeting with Vince McMahon went really well. We talked for about 30 minutes. He had a lot of complimentary things to say. As far as hearing that specific thing, that was not something I heard about. My 4 years with NXT was fantastic. My 4 years with WWE was awesome. But at the end of the day, I wanted to end up with AEW. Now that I'm here, I'm stoked. Chugs is a lovely human being. He was clearly going to be diplomatic when asked about this. I'm glad that the question did come up. Do you believe him?
Yeah, I believe him because in the initial report, I believe it was from Meltzer, it wasn't like this was a pitch made to him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This was a pitch that was brought up internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sean Ossap said something.
That he didn't hear anything from his sources about what that was actually being discussed backstage or something to that effect.
Well, he also said that oftentimes he hears things similarly. Wrestlers simply are not told about pitches made, bandied about in creative. Like, I think he used one example that there was even a graphic asset made for Sonya Deville to be in the Women's Money in the Bank match, and that was never used. And who knows if she ever even knew about it. So yeah, kind of interesting. But I suspect even if he did hear about that, he's tactful enough to not run it into the ground and the answer like, oh yeah, I heard about that. I mean, crap.
It probably would have been something like, oh, I was pitched a bunch of different ideas.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like a roundabout way of confirming it without talking trash about it. Yeah.
Chugs is great. Pro. They had their little video saying goodbye to Chugs on from the party today. It was very nice. It was very much like Steve from Blue's Clues. Like, sometimes we have to leave and grow.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about the WWE and their labor situation, because that's fun. Andrew Yang, remember him?
Yeah.
About a year ago or so. Former
president. It's hard to believe it was a year ago. It was a year ago. I checked the first time we did a story about it was Andrew Yang's interview with Chris Van Vliet. It was September 10th of last year. Doesn't seem like it's been that long ago.
Time has gone. Pandemic has turned time inside out, man. So, yeah, about a year ago, like you said, Andrew Yang, former presidential candidate, former New York mayoral candidate as well.
Correct.
Made some waves by aggressively going after Vince McMahon for classifying WWE's talent as, quote, independent contractors while controlling virtually every aspect of their professional lives. Yang toned down that talk while he ran for mayor of New York City. But now that he's done with that, he's back tweeting about WWE's labor practices. There are also some rumors that he might be looking into starting a third party, which is probably a terrible idea, given that it would probably just splinter the dumb. Anyways, he said this. Had a call with the Department of Labor. If you are a current or former WWE performer who feels you were misclassified as an independent contractor, contact, I don't know who this is.
It's a Twitter handle. It's
It's like a labor lawyer, right?
Labor attorney, yeah. Lucas Middlebrook, yes.
Ah, okay. And let's get you what Vince owes you. Been a long time coming, but this storyline is real. It's your money. You need cash now. I've got a structured settlement. I am an independent contractor. I need cash now. Yeah, I don't foresee any WWE wrestlers going to contact this guy.
If this was a situation where Andrew Yang had capitalized on, because this kind of coincided with all the talk about Vince not letting wrestlers be on Twitch, on Cameo, that kind of stuff. Now, if these conversations, I know the situation was different. We had a different president. I don't know if at the time he had any ability to do anything about it in an official capacity or even going through contacts, Department of Labor, any of that stuff. But if it's a situation where at least he had talked about it then, tried to get the ball rolling, and continually talked about it until January when the new administration took over, and then was like, all right, let's get to it, then maybe I would feel more confident about something happening. Instead, now a year later, he's bringing it back up. I just feel like the momentum is kind of gone.
And he's sort of like passing the buck to them, right? Like, here's the labor attorney. You guys don't like how you're being treated? Contact him, you know, as opposed to Yang being out on the front saying, hey, let's get some hearings going. Let's drag Vince and whoever in front of a congressional panel
committee. Yeah.
Something like that, which is, you know, but no, he's just saying, hey, don't like where you're at? Interested in risking your job? Go ahead and hit this guy up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he prefaced all that other stuff with saying he had a call with Department of Labor. Now, what that entails, who knows? I mean, it'd be great if something could happen where if you're in WWE and you have an independent contractor contract, then you are actually an independent contractor, and Vince can't interfere in what you want to do in terms of how you operate your business as an independent contractor outside of WWE. Right now, that's not the case.
Yeah,
quite obviously.
Yeah,
and so. It's hard for Vince to define to back up the idea that he's signing these wrestlers to be independent contractors when seemingly they're not. They're employees. He treats his wrestlers like they're employees.
He does. And I think there's actually a lot. I don't know, man. I don't know. This doesn't feel like it's gonna go anywhere. It just doesn't. Like, unless you're willing to take on Vince McMahon yourself and force him to then amend contracts or amend policy, and the wrestlers themselves don't have to get involved. It ain't gonna. Nobody's gonna. I would be surprised if anybody stepped up, unless you literally have nothing else to lose. Unless you are so mishandled, misused, and you're just sitting there at the bottom, and you're never on TV. Unless that's your situation.
It's either that or someone like Roman Reigns, who is a locker room leader by all accounts. Mm-hmm. He's the guy in WWE. Mm-hmm. Now, could firing him could potentially backfire on Vince. You know?
Yeah, but there's so many other things he could do to mess with Roman's bag and not, you know,
totally.
And it's like, I just don't know. Yeah, it'd be great if the 10 biggest names in WWE, you know, decided to stage a strike. But I just don't know. They all came up in this system. I don't know. Like, I'll put it this way. I just don't see any of that happening. Like, wrestlers are wrestlers. They came up in this system, and they just understand that that's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And unless somebody that isn't the one putting their career on the line is going to step up, somebody in a position of power is going to step up, somebody at the Department of Labor is going to step up and initiate this and confront Vince directly about it. I just don't like what he's putting this on the wrestlers to step foot to step forward.
I know. Yeah. You're right. It's going to take some governmental body to step up and confront Vince about this. If you say, hey, wrestlers, you're the one that has to get this moving.
Yeah. I just don't even
told us it's not going to happen.
I don't know that Roman Reigns would find it in anybody's best interest.
I just used him as an example. Top of the card guy. I'm not trying to put the onus on Roman to be a labor organizer. Just an example of a top guy.
Yeah. Like who could hold Vince to accountability is your
exactly
point.
That has the stroke to potentially, hold Vince accountable for some of the stuff.
Yeah. This was kind of interesting. Jake Atlas, of course, formerly of NXT, released relatively recently. Mm-hmm. Kenny Marquez is his real name. Mm-hmm. Announced that he's stepping away from the wrestling business. He said this. He said, "I'm not concussed or banged up. I simply just can't keep going anymore. Take your mental health seriously, both for yourselves and for each other, because we only have one life to live. Thank you to anyone who did support me for 5 years. I didn't do much, but what I did was fun. I'm stepping away from wrestling completely right now, so please don't ask me to do interviews or appearances. I'd like my privacy to be respected. At 26 years old, I've got my entire life ahead of me, and I'm choosing to explore completely different industries to find my passion again. Unfortunately, it was unhealthy for me the entire time. I just learned how to hide it really well. I hope that friends and fans I've made alike continue to support me no matter what. I have major anxiety just having done that. Please be sensitive. Thank you." So obviously we wish Jake Atlas, Kenny Marquez, all the best in whatever he chooses to do with his life. 26 is incredibly old. I'm sorry, incredibly young. He has a ton of time, ton of time left in his life. And hopefully he finds it spending something that makes him very happy.
Exactly. Want to talk Impact Wrestling, Steve? We got Impact Wrestling tonight.
There is a wrestling Impact tonight. An Impact Wrestling tonight, even.
Yeah. I assume this will be the main event because it's like basically the entire upper card and mid card of Impact Wrestling in this one match. So you got Ace Austin, Madman Fulton, Brian Myers, Moose, and W. Morrissey. That's one team.
One team.
Taking on Steve's favorite wrestler, Christian Cage, Josh Alexander, Chris Sabin.
There you go.
Ed Edwards, and Sami Callihan.
What are the implications here? Is there any stakes?
Dude, I just go right down the matches. I don't read the description on Impact.
I'm going to start watching Impact again. We should start co-streaming and just see what happens. I like Smashdown better. Drama King Matt versus Trey Miguel. John Skyler versus the Laredo Kid. Oh, that's right. Laredo Kid's back in Impact. That's fun.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
TJP versus Petey Williams and Violent by Design versus The Decay. So that sounds like a fun episode of Impact. I might check it out. I got the Impact Plus membership for 99 cents. So if I have some time, tonight there's no Smashdown, so maybe I'll check it out tonight. You never know.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyways, let us know what you guys think about all this stuff in the comments below. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.